are looking live at Chicken Dinner.
I'll bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
I think I'll take two chickens.
Go on riverboat gambling trips.
You're going to die for some chickens.
Hey, what's your chicken dinner?
Someone is.
It was feathers yesterday. There was no chicken.
What you got riding on this game?
My daughter.
What a gambler.
It's Chicken Dinner.
Hey, Babalugas, we got a bet here.
Here's your host, Sam Panionovich.
It's called Winner, Winner, Chicken Dinner right there, boys.
Let's get this thing going.
Winner, Winner, Chicken Dinner. How about that?
Away we go. Chicken Dinner Thursday, November 11th, 2021. Follow on Twitter at ChickenXDinner, Instagram at ChickenDinnerSP, and please subscribe so you get the new podcasts once they drop. We will talk to Pam Maldonado, Yahoo Sports, and the Yahoo Sports Book. You can never do enough homework, and Pam does more than almost anybody that I've ever met. Weeknight unders are not safe in the MAC. And I'll be honest, we actually taped our interview last Thursday, and Pam was nails on every game we talked about, so I still want to use the interview. If anything, it proves why you need to be following Pam. So we'll talk to her coming up later on in the show. The reason we didn't get to the show last Friday is because I spent all day trying to dig between the garbage at Boston College and figure out if quarterback Phil Dracovic was going to play. It was an absolute nightmare all week long. Got rumors on Tuesday or Wednesday that Dracovic was actually going to play. And this was a guy who broke a bone in his throwing hand months ago, mid-September, early to mid-September, and he was supposed to be out for the season. You hear rumblings about him potentially playing, and he'd been out at the field before games, running around, but nobody thought he was going to play. And then I heard from a couple sources that Dracovic was taking first-team reps at practice last week. And it's interesting how these tips come about, because you hear something, you hear this, you hear that, and then you have to confirm something that can't be confirmed. We've talked about this. But there's a way to do it, because when you start to get close to something that isn't supposed to be common knowledge, radio silence occurs. And people around Boston College or people around the program that you know or have friends of friends of, they start going silent. And then that tells you more than you need to know. It's one thing when somebody says, yeah, he's not going to play. But when people that are usually responding or friends of friends that usually respond say nothing, you're getting close to something. And I was fighting it all day Wednesday and Thursday and then even into Friday. When I thought he was going to play, I had some other people say that Dracovic was going to play. And then you get the confirmation in the afternoon, hey, he's in. He's definitely going to play. So we run with the story. Phil Dracovic, quarterback one, is going to play for Boston College. We have heard it from multiple sources. He's going to go, and when he gets cleared, that line's going to move. Well, I think it was an hour later or an hour and a half later, the Boston College public relations team puts out a picture of all the quarterback lockers. And in Dracovic's locker, there are no pads. And that is clearly calculated because there are pads in the one guy's locker, there are pads in the other guy's locker, and no pads in Dracovic's locker. And then I'm getting blasted on social media, direct messages. There's no pads in his locker! He's not playing! Okay. Got it. Good call. Good call. So Dracovic gets cleared. The line goes from Boston College plus three to Boston College minus one. They win the game 17-3. It was rather easy, but this proves that trying to figure this stuff out is sometimes such an uphill battle. You get it right, but it's time consuming. You're calling, you're texting, you're checking and double checking and triple checking. These things take time, and you have to trust the people that you've built the network around. So I apologize for not getting up Friday's show. You're trying to do your job. And it turns out he plays, and it's an easy winner. Also met three people at Boston College that are awesome dudes, Mike, Nick, and Rich, Chicken Dinner listeners. We all met up around halftime, had a couple of pops. One of the guys handed me a little nip, an airline bottle. just having a good time at the Boston College Virginia Tech game. So I always love meeting people that enjoy this show. You know they're loyal listeners when they go, oh, man, you were hot to start March Madness. But man, baseball was tough in the beginning. They hold you to it. And that's why I respect the audience. I said to all three of them, have you guys become better bettors from this show? Yes, yes, yes. That's all that matters. We're going to win a lot. We're going to lose a lot. We're going to win futures. We're going to lose futures. Hit the Braves future. We're going to lose probably the Tatis future. But we're trying to make everybody better and help you understand how this racket works. Speaking of tips, hashtag tip sheet. Got the Djurkovic scoop right. Also had the Kyler Murray scoop right. Didn't even matter. Another market move that tells you what you need to know. Very similar to what happened the previous week on Thursday afternoon with Dak Prescott. Hey, Dak's calf is not that great. And that line just moved across through zero. Minnesota was +2, then they were -2. They told you on Thursday, the sharp bettors and the bookmakers, that Dak wasn't playing. Last Thursday, around 3:45 p.m. Eastern, we got word that Kyler Murray was not going to play for Arizona that coming Sunday. At the time, the line was mostly Niners +1. Within moments, the screen lit up like a Christmas tree. Pick, 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 pick. One shop, Niners -1. Hey now, you're in business. I think Chicken Dinner tweeted out Niners pick 'em. Either pick 'em or -1. Either way, it lost. The market got all the way to San Francisco -5.5. I saw one local shop had Niners -6. Everybody chases it. You're chasing the move. You get the fear of missing out. You want to be a part of it. That thing got so high and so out of whack, and it didn't matter. In back-to-back weeks, this show has gotten ahead of Dak Prescott and Kyler Murray being ruled out. Beating lines by 6.5, 7 points, doesn't matter. That's why it's so tough. But if you get that information, I had somebody the other day say, well, yeah, you know, we didn't win the Niners, but if I would have told you that you would have gotten ahead of Kyler Murray being out and beat the line by almost a touchdown, would you have made the bet? Yeah. Okay. There you go. That's it. Kansas college basketball. Looking good. Looking good on that future. I did know college basketball before I get into Kansas. I knew it returned when I saw the box score. First half, Kentucky and Duke. Coach K's farewell season. The free throw disparity in that first half at the Garden. Duke was up 39-35. Blue Devils shot 17 free throws. Kentucky shot 4. That sounds about right. That morning, shot out a text at Chicken X Dinner, Kansas to win the national championship +1600. There was an 18-1. There was a 20-1. Most of you aren't going to get those numbers, so 16-1 was fair. It was at multiple places. I look at that roster, and I see the most talent and the most depth in the country. Keep your Gonzagas, your Michigans, your UCLAs. I want Kansas. If you give me any team in the country at the price, given the odds, I want the Kansas Jayhawks. They return their top three scorers from last year's team, 4 of the top 5. Also added 2 very good players in the transfer portal. Remy Martin from Arizona State, best name in college basketball. Jalen Coleman-Lanz, who is at his 8th college in the last 5 years, it feels like. I remember when he played at Illinois. Illinois, DePaul, Iowa State, now Kansas, whatever. He could shoot it from 3. He is a very good guard off the bench. Both of those cats, Martin and Coleman-Lanz, provide instant value to an already deep roster. Kansas can score inside, outside, upper-class guards. They're going to face you up, guard the hell out of you all over the floor. It's one of the deepest teams Bill Self has had in years. I really believe that. And Ken Pomeroy already has them potentially top 5 in offensive and defensive efficiency. And the point I make, you want to get ahead of the curve. You want to get the bet in before that opening night game when they roll Michigan State. Also shop around. At the time that we tweeted out 16-1 on Kansas, Westgate Superbook in Vegas had +1,000. FanDuel, 13-1. BetMGM, 14. Circa, 15. PointsBet, 15. Sugar House, Caesars, DraftKings, 16. FoxBet, 18. WinBet, 20-1. Shop around, always. That $100 bet makes you $1,000 at the Superbook, $2,000 at WinBet. It's paramount to have multiple options. Multiple options saves you money. That's an extra dime right there just by making the bet at the right place. If you have a friend in a WinBet state, hey, psst, hook me up. I'll Venmo ya. Why would you make the bet at 10-1 when you can make it at 20-1? Always be shopping. End of the day, I think once Self gets all the old guys and the new guys to gel together, Kansas is going to be one of the toughest outs in college basketball. Anything goes in March. We've seen that. The best team in college basketball doesn't always win because one bad night, one missed free throw, one block shot at the buzzer, whatever. A team goes home and that's it. But they possess enough talent, the Jayhawks, and they return enough experience to be a one seed in the tournament. If all that comes together, you will feel amazing with that 20-1 ticket or 18-1 ticket or 16-1 ticket in your back pocket. And somebody tweeted at Nesson yesterday, can we wait until March Madness? Good call. You wait until March Madness. Kansas will be a one seed. They'll be 4 or 5 to 1 to win the title, and then you bet that price. We will keep our price. You do your thing. We'll keep ours, and the rest will take care of itself. But I do think that Kansas team is loaded. David McCormick, Mitch Lightfoot, I feel like they've been in Kansas for a decade. Doesn't matter. That team 1 through 8 is the deepest in the country. Do they have the most potential? Do they have the most first-round draft picks? No, but I don't care. That's the best team, in my opinion, in college basketball. Football, taking Virginia against Notre Dame. I think Brennan Armstrong, the quarterback, is going to play. There are conflicting reports here. I think he's in. Southpaw quarterback, completing about 66% of his passes. If he's in, they are going to take shots down the field and set up the run game, but take the shots. They'll win the game with the passing attack. And the way this game is lined with a total of 64.5, that tells me that the books think Armstrong's in. I had a couple respected people tell me they think he's in. Apparently the Hoos were sending out emails on Monday or Tuesday sort of touting Armstrong for some big awards across the country. You don't usually do that if the guy's not going to play. He left the game 2 weekends ago with a rib injury, but I don't think it's that serious. I haven't heard anything like that. You put a rib protector on, do what you got to do. I think Armstrong is going to play. If he plays, which again, I assume he does, Virginia's live to win this game because of the way they can throw the football against a very average Notre Dame secondary. I like Virginia +5.5, also a little money line, +190. Played them flat both ways. Always a unit on Twitter, unless noted otherwise. Always going to play a unit. Carolina Panthers. Nobody wants to bet them. I'm going to bet them. +10.5. Market mostly 10 now. I don't know that it crosses through 10 because there will be resistance under 10. Now, this number is under the impression that Kyler Murray is going to play. Let's be clear about that. If he is not in, this line is probably south of 7. I would think this line could be 5.5 or 6. This number says, though, that Kyler Murray is in. I don't care. I don't think that Arizona is going to take Carolina all that seriously. And Sam Darnold being out isn't exactly the worst thing in the world. There is literally almost no difference point-wise from Darnold to PJ Walker. People ask all the time, well, what's the quarterback worth? Every situation's different. Huge drop-off. Aaron Rodgers, Jordan Love. Huge drop-off. Tom Brady, Blaine Gabbert. Huge drop-off, Patrick Mahomes, Chad Henne. Almost no drop-off, Sam Darnold, P.J. Walker. Almost none. Darnold stinks. Everybody knows that. Everybody's known that. Maybe there's a half point. If anything, Walker can make more plays work, getting outside the pocket, using his legs, making the chains move that way. Just spread the rock, run it, keep Arizona off the field. I think Carolina is going to be a decent bet. You also get 10.5 points with a total of 44. Those points are more valuable in a game with a low total. A total of 54, those 10 points aren't as valuable. Total of 44, a lot more valuable. And I don't care. I'm laying 2.5 Sunday night with Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. That team has struggled, but they have scratched and clawed their way to 2 wins in the last 2 games. I take positives from teams that haven't played well, still finding ways to win games. Doesn't matter who they played. Did they win? Did they not? Buffalo just lost to Jacksonville. It is hard to find wins in this league, and Kansas City has a couple in their back pocket, feeling themselves a little bit. I think this number is too low. The game should be 4, 4.5. The fact that there's some history here as well. Well, Vegas played them well twice last year. Last year's over. I don't care. How often do you get to lay 2.5 with Patrick Mahomes on Sunday night against a team that isn't really that good? It's one thing when it's KC -2.5 against Buffalo, but Vegas? That team is in shambles. So many things off the field. The pressure building and mounting. No more Gruden. No more Henry Ruggs. That team last year, a lot different than it is right now. And I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. If I could short them right now, I would. I hadn't even looked this up. Let me pull up the FanDuel app and give you numbers. They have these playoff odds. Will a team make it or will they not? I saw the Patriots at DraftKings actually -0.25 to make the playoffs. They were +275 a month ago to make the playoffs. Now they're -125. So New England clearly on the rise. Las Vegas Raiders to make the playoffs at FanDuel. No -146. I agree. Yes, +126. So the books are telling you that Vegas probably going to fall off. They're not as good as their record. There's a lot going on there. The locker room is very, very interesting right now. And I don't think they can hang with Kansas City. There's a chance, of course. It's the NFL. There's a chance the Chiefs could lose. I'm going to lay the points. I'm going to do it. Going to take Mahomes and Hill and Kelce and think that that offense sets the pace and the Vegas Raiders can't catch up. That's what I'm going with. It is what it is. Don't usually play public road favorites, but this one's different. I think the Chiefs have gotten a lot better on defense, too. So that's the four I got right now. Virginia, +5.5. Virginia Moneyline, +190. Panthers, +10.5. And the Chiefs, -2.5. I will probably go back to the Saints well, but I'm going to wait, let that thing climb a little bit. Probably get some more threes in the market. A lot of -3 +100, -3, -105 on Tennessee. So the three is a little chalky. I think by the time we get to kickoff, it'll be 3 flat because the public is going to bet Tennessee. They're going to lay 2.5, 3 and get that to 3 flat -10. So I'll wait that out. Probably going to take the Saints. The other team I was thinking about, can I bet against Georgia? Can I take the points with Tennessee? I want to. Ooh. And I thought all week, when this thing opened up, Circa put it up last Sunday at 21 right away, bang, within like 5 minutes it went to 20. I thought it would climb back. By the time we get to Saturday, people are going to bet Georgia, and it's going to get to 21. Well, looking at this thing on Thursday morning, Georgia -19.5 at Chris in Costa Rica. That's pretty telling. To move off the 20. I was thinking I'll take 3 touchdowns with Tennessee. We may not get back to +21. And it's tough to go against Georgia. Look at what they've done in their last month. 43-6 against Missouri. 34-7 against Florida. 30-13 against Kentucky. 34-10 at Auburn. 37-0 against Arkansas. 4 of those 5 games are in Athens, though. The only road game of that bunch at Auburn, 34-10. And that was a game, wasn't that game close early? 3-3 after one, 17-3 at half, and then Auburn just couldn't do anything in the second half. Georgia put up 17 in the second half. I'm telling you, they can scoot, they can score. Tennessee this year, 7-point loss to Pittsburgh, 5-point loss to Ole Miss. And in that Alabama game, yeah, they didn't cover. I had Alabama in that game. At the half, it is 21-14 Alabama. Final score 52-24. Alabama scored 28 points in the fourth quarter. Alabama should not have covered. I think Tennessee has the offense. They can definitely hang around against Georgia. And I'm curious to see what that market looks like as we get closer to the weekend. Friday night, Saturday morning. I would love a 21. I'm going to wait it out. I'm going to see what happens and see where that number gets to. Hard Rock Sportsbook in Florida, already kneecapping people. David Bellavia at Davey Sharpside on Twitter. There you have it. Less than 72 hours into wagering on the Hard Rock Holly new app, I went from being allowed $100,000 a game to $275. Don't waste your time heading to South Florida. Dressmaker book. Dave then added a screenshot of him trying to bet a dime over 59.5 in Tulane UCF. The Hard Rock highlighted the $1,000 in red and added a box beneath the bet that said, maximum wager is 275. Wager 275? Question mark. Dave's not going to bet there again. People like that that get limited and kneecapped, they're going to stay betting with their locals. They're going to keep betting offshore because they want to get down some money. This is the hardest part for people that win. People that move markets. People that can move the point spread and move totals multiple points. They can't get down bets. You had a chance. You could have bet $100,000 a game. Then they cut you down to 275. You were able to bet six figures and then you can't bet $300. It's ass backwards. There aren't many books in the world, at least in America, that are going to take big bets from winning players. And that's unfortunate because I've always thought that seeing respected action from winning players is what helps you make your market. I don't think the Hard Rock app should be taking, you know, $25,000, $30,000, but you should take at least a couple dimes, maybe $2,000, $3,000 on these games. I just don't understand. If I was taking bets, I'd want to know. If a player's that good, I want to see who he's on. I don't want to kneecap him to 300 because then he's not going to bet there. You think Dave's going to make another bet at the Hard Rock Hollywood? No, ain't going to happen. He's done. He's going to pull the money out. It's over. If I was taking bets, though, I'd want to see who he's on. Give him a little bit. Give him some rope. Let him hit some sides and totals. It's going to help you as a bookmaker get to the right numbers. But already, kicking people out. They've been open, what, like a month? Not even. A couple weeks? Already kicking people to the curb with these awful limits. Guess it's better than some books at like $7. Hey, we'll give you $8 on this. I just don't get it. And the last thing before we get to Pam Maldonado. Dave Mason tweeted last week about political betting odds. He's the guy behind the scenes at Bet Online. These are just numbers. We are not talking politics on this show. Money moving, though, on the Republicans. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis took some respected money to win the election in 2024. They moved DeSantis in from 11-1 to 8-1. Glenn Youngkin popped on the menu 50-1 to win it in 2024. Winning party in 2024, Republicans up from minus 120 to minus 150. To win the Senate, Republicans minus 160 to minus 200. And to win the House of Reps, Republicans minus $5 to minus 7. So you're seeing money show for a lot of these red markets. To win the presidential election, to win the Senate, to win the House of Reps. Just take from that what you must. I think this COVID thing, people are over the COVID. Inflation is as high as it's been in 30 years. Democrats have a lot to figure out. They want to keep a lot of this stuff. They're going to have to make some changes. But that's the way that this market is moving as of November 2021. A lot of dollars showing and a lot of markets moving in the favor of the elephants. Joining us on Chicken Dinner, she's an analyst and a writer for the Yahoo Sportsbook. She's been working with Yahoo for quite some time, and she does a lot of work with the stats. I've seen the packets, Pam Maldonado. I've seen the packets. They're intimidating. How many pages per packet usually?
Oh, I will. Well, you know what? I will tell you, first off, that I've gone through my first packet for college football. I'm on my second packet already for the NFL. I have a whole, like... If they come in 12 packs, 15 packs, 20 packs, those are the ones that I'm buying on Amazon. I'm the number one buyer when it comes to buying notepads and pens and highlighters for the football season. I need it. I need pen and paper. That's my system. It works for me.
Is your process when it comes to filling all these notes, is it organized chaos? I mean, everybody has their own way to prepare for games. I'm more of a highlight type cat, and I've got the gambler's pen, which goes from green to red to blue to black whenever I click it down. Like, I'm an organized cat that way. How does your system work?
I have one notepad for college football, one notepad for NFL, and then I have multiple pads for other things, like I use for player props, or I'll use for like maybe totals, or just like gibberish notes of just like random thoughts. But I have the same highlighter system kind of as you. Green is something that I'm firing on. Orange is something that I'm considering. Yellow means go back and study it. So my highlighter system is down to a T, and the notepads, you know what? It just works. And I can't get off of it, no matter how much I want to try and go into like a computer model or like an Excel sheet. Pen and paper's where it's at, man.
And I'm sure you and I both have a bunch of friends that don't do any homework. They just have a couple drinks at happy hour, and they're like, oh, I like Team A. You know, everybody does what works for
exactly.
them.
Exactly.
And that's totally fine. I'll tell you what has not worked for me. I am 0-1 this year in the MAC. Maybe one of the worst picks I've ever given out on this show. The under 54 on Eastern Michigan and Toledo at halftime. It was 28-24. Finished at 101, Pam.
I know. I love it. Oh, I love the MAC conference so much. Every year it gets a bad rap as like a joke of a conference, but it's entertaining. It's there what it's supposed to be. Tuesday, Wednesday, instead of watching old reruns of Friends or like Frasier, who knows, whatever, Jeopardy, turn on some action, and I guarantee you are going to see some like crazy ass things. And one of the things you're talking about, NIU, a reason why you cannot take an under in a MAC game. They went for it on 4th and 5 on the Kent 41-yard line. They went for it on 4th and 10 and converted for a touchdown. They're going for 2 when they're down 11. I mean, things just don't make sense. And they're out there to have fun. They're out there to put up points. They're out there to showcase the offense, not the defense. Remember that. Don't take an under.
Speaking of punting, or not punting, rather, on 4th down, have you heard about this Presbyterian team yet in the FCS?
No. What is that? What's going on?
They don't punt. They go for it almost every time on 4th down. And when they score, they onside kick. We uncovered this. There's only been 7 line games so far. Presbyterian is 5-2 to the over, and here are some of their final scores this year. 72-0. They played a game 63-43, 70-35, 69-28, 56-14. The only game that went under, like, by a long shot, they played Morehead State. The total was 93.
Oh my God.
Game landed 38-30. Pam, 4th and 5 at their own 20, they go for it.
And that's what you should do. You know what? There's 2 sayings in life. And if there's not a saying, it should be. Life's too short to bet the under. Life's too short to not to punt. So let's just skip the punting and let's just go for it. 4th and 5 on your own. Hell yeah. Let's do it.
They actually tried to punt 2 weeks ago, and the punter drilled the fucking punt off of the helmet of his offensive lineman. The team broke through, picked it up, and scored. And my buddy's watching the game on ESPN 17 or whatever, and he goes, this is why they don't punt, because they punt off each other. You got to look at Presbyterian, although the problem, as you know, Pam, is that these books catch up. The first Presbyterian total, it opened at like 61. These totals are now opening in the mid to high 70s. And I think that's something that you've always pointed out, and I love the way that you educate with your audience. Those totals in the MAC, I mean, hell, the books have caught up on those in the last couple of years, too.
Absolutely. I blame Barstool. A few years ago when I was betting the MAC, I made an absolute killing off of betting the MAC conference. But it's because at the lines, week after week, you're having 100-point games, 90-point games, just like Presbyterian, except pregame, the lines were totaled 52.5, 54.5. Okay, maybe the next season they creeped up to 56.5, 57.5. Well, if you look at the MAC games this week, all of them were in the 60s. You had one of them reach the 70s. Well, all of it, the MAC's become popular. So now the books have paid attention. Now it's a trend to want to bet the MAC, watch the MAC. Who got in on it first? Me. I did. But now the books have caught up and the value's no longer there.
Always humble, Pam Maldonado, joining us on Chicken Dinner. I had a bookmaker in Vegas tell me that on an average Tuesday or Wednesday night MAC game, those games handle-wise can match an NFL Sunday game in the afternoon. Like, not Sunday night football, wow, not Monday night football, but the appetite for something on an island. Yeah, like you said, if it's on, we're going to watch it if we want some skin in it. But some of those games, those standalone games on Tuesday, Wednesday night that you get late in the season, they get so much money. And most people will tell you, nobody's betting the under. So you might as well, you open it high, and then you know you're going to write it up even higher.
Mm-hmm. So like I made a suggestion on Twitter yesterday for the NIU-Kent game. The line jumped up from 62 to 67. You lost 5 points of value. People were still tweeting, I'm taking the over. And look, it clearly hit. It was a 100-point game. But what I'm now doing instead is live betting. So once the game starts, you have a couple of punts. Suddenly that 67 line drops back to 62. You get a field goal. They didn't convert on fourth, since we know they like to try to go for it on fourth. Well, now that 62 is now 59, 58. You can get a better number in game, and it's going to be less of a sweat because you're getting probably about 10 points of value by a couple of punts. So that's what I'm starting to do instead of taking it pregame at a worse number.
Have you heard of middle finger mode? Do you know what that is?
I imagine that's when you have an under in a MAC game.
It was a very open-ended question, and you took a shot. No, middle finger mode is when a contender that should be a playoff team loses early in the season. Ohio State has been in middle finger mode for a long period of time. 41 against Tulsa, 59 against Akron, 52 against Rutgers, 66 against Maryland, 54 against Indiana. They did only get 33 last week against Penn State, but it was weird to see Ryan Day kick field goals of 23, 25, and 26. Those are going to be touchdowns against most teams. Pam, I took over 64 OSU and Nebraska. That team, Ohio State, is trying to literally score 50 points every single game. And I think when you get a team like that with an explosive offense that needs style points, hello, that's, to me, a game you just got to bet the over. Do you have a dog in that fight?
I 100% agree on the over. I think Ohio State easily on their own can be scoring 48, 55 points here. Nebraska, they don't have a really good defense, and they have a one-man show. So they're not going to be on the field often long enough to keep Ohio State off the field. And plus, you're talking about them putting up style points. Well, who's in the running for a Heisman contender? CJ Stroud. So he's got to put those up, especially after just 33 points last week. I definitely agree with that over.
So you're on a couple favorites this week, which I'm interested by. If you like a favorite, you must really like the favorite. Let's go to 327, 328, Wisconsin and Rutgers. Badgers open up about 11. Now we're seeing a lot of 13s painted. You like the Badgers, huh?
I have no idea how Rutgers is going to be putting up points in this game. Badgers, they're top 20 in rushing yards. They have dual running backs with Chez Malusi and Braylon Allen. Rutgers versus Michigan State, who's another pretty good run team, allowed 250 rushing yards, 6.6 yards per carry, and lost 31-13. Now, the difference is that the Scarlet Knights, they do have somewhat of an offense in the ground game, 83 in rushing yards. Wisconsin, they're number one in the FBS for run defense, top 20 in opponent points per play, second best in opponent red zone scores and attempts, and third best in touchdowns allowed. They're not giving up points. I have no idea how Rutgers puts up the scoring here. Wisconsin, their offense is starting to get back on track. Run the table. It can be 35-0, 28-0.
I think we're heads up on Wake and Carolina. I'm so nervous, but it's a principle. I got to take the points. I've been riding Sam Hartman all year. That offense keeps clicking. They throw the ball at will. But the market agrees with you. Carolina won on the open, now 2, 2.5. You like the heels, yes?
I do. I love Sam Hartman. He is so fun to watch. I cannot wait to see what he can do in the NFL. 10th in passing yards, 22 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, but 5 of those touchdowns came against Army. So that's definitely a different type of defense. The Tar Heels, they do have somewhat of a defense here. They're top 50 in passing yards allowed. And what I love about the difference between North Carolina and Wake is that Wake is a very one-dimensional offense. They pass and they pass only. But you have North Carolina, who's also top 30 in the rushing yards, in both rushing yards and yards per carry. Tell me that they don't already have a game plan to use running back Ty Chandler, who leads the team in rushing yards, and Sam Howell, who's also a great mobile quarterback, who has 100 yards less than the RB1, that they're going to use both of those players on the ground and keep the ball out of the hands of Sam Hartman, which is also why I like the under in this game, because I think I love a team that has, that can both pass and run. You have more variety, you have more options. And if you're a one-man show and you're going up against a defense that can stop what you're doing, kind of hard to win games that way.
This number before the season is what? Carolina?
7.
Oh, I was going to go even higher than that. Okay, let's say it's 7. That's where I'm nervous, because I know, like, there's probably a correction in the market, and I probably shouldn't take the dog here, but I run into these struggles as well. When you take a team, you know, 4 out of 5 times and they cover, that's the hardest thing to do, I think, for a lot of people. They can't step away from the ledge when it's been a profitable one. And I had the same issue last week with Ole Miss. I thought, well, they've made me enough money, I'm going to take the points. It's almost the exact same scenario where it's a good team catching points, but the market's moving away. And that sort of makes me
nervous. It's about catching spots, though. It's about picking spots. And you have to look at the mobile quarterback. That's the huge, 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 huge difference in this game. Wake Forest against mobile quarterbacks this season. Against Syracuse, they won by 3 points at home. Against Louisville, they won by 3 points at home. This is on the road. Mobile quarterback, better defense. Playmakers on both passing and the run game. Wake Forest is bottom 30 in rushing yards allowed and opponent yards per carry. Keep the ball out of his hands. Run the clock.
All right. Mississippi State, Arkansas. Razorbacks laying 5. This total a lot lower than the Wake Carolina total. 55.5 on the bottom. You like one of these teams, right?
The underdog. That's what I love to bet. I love the underdog. +5.5. I love the money line, +180. The Bulldogs, you are 4th best in passing offense, led by quarterback Will Rogers, nearly 3,000 passing yards on the season, 19 total touchdowns. The worry that people are always going to think about is, well, he's been sacked a lot. The Razorbacks, they don't put up a very mean pass rush. They're bottom 20 in sacks to quarterbacks, and their leading pass rusher, he only has 4 sacks on the season. And the Razorbacks, they're a run-only team. But the Mississippi State Bulldogs, 4th best in rushing defense. So now I would much rather take a team that can pass the ball, get downfield, than opposed to a running team who's struggling against the defense. Give me a passing team all day long.
When you bet these dogs, I know Kelly does her own little system of, you know, bet this much on the spread and this much on the money line. How much, if any, will you play on the Mississippi State money line this weekend?
The longer the odds, the smaller the bet gets. I usually do about 15-20% on the money line if it's in the +100, 150. But once you start getting to the +200, +250, +300, then I bring it back to about 10%.
I'm going to jump on that Mississippi State money line. I'm feeling it. I'm feeling it now. We have some breaking news here, Pam. I'm sure you have the screen up as well. I just got a text from a bookmaker that says Kyler Murray's not going to go for the Arizona Cardinals this weekend.
Oh, interesting.
And you look at the screen, and one big book in Las Vegas just moved San Francisco to -1. San Francisco won. Some books are at pick. That game opened Arizona -3. Do you, like, when you see an injury or a quarterback not going to play, Aaron Rodgers comes to mind, and the line moves 7 points or whatever.
Dramatically.
I'm taking the 7.5 with Green Bay. In this game now, I could take, if I wait this out and let the public catch up and they'll jack San Francisco up to -2, talk me out of Arizona on a teaser leg +8.
Well, I actually already have the 49ers on a teaser leg +8. So that number is, you can middle both sides here if you jumped on that early. But I do like the San Francisco side in this game. The Cardinals, it's not a play against Kyler Murray at all. It's actually a play on the San Francisco 49ers. In that first matchup, they didn't have Jimmy Garoppolo. So that, and they struggled against Trey Lance, who was a rookie quarterback in his first start. So now you're getting a more experienced quarterback. The playmakers are starting to get healthy. San Francisco outgained in that matchup, in that first matchup. San Francisco outgained Arizona 338 yards to 304. Divisional game, low scoring affair. I do like San Francisco in this.
I can see the smile on your face when you say that you have San Francisco plus +8. You're going to have so much CLV on that. I wonder where that's going to go because it's already one on Thursday. By the time we get to Sunday afternoon and it's actually official that he doesn't play, well, here we go. There are some more ones. Bang, bang, bang. This might get to San Francisco minus -3.
It definitely could. People like to overreact a lot. So that's why you see the number 4, Aaron Rodgers, go from 3.5, jump to 7.5 without Davante Adams. That number, I mean, people react. And then once they start seeing the line move, you get FOMO. Oh my God, let me jump in before it gets too high. And then all of a sudden you go from 6 to 7. And yeah, there's a lot of value that can go into this.
And there are a lot of people that'll be watching on Sunday. And once it comes across the ticker on the bottom that Kyler Murray is in all caps, out, people will go and bet on San Francisco. That's the way it goes. I have like really one final question, and it's about the college football playoff. Brad Powers is a tremendous college football handicapper. He makes his own numbers a lot like you do. And I think 10 minutes after they put out the matchups, Georgia, Oregon, Alabama, and Michigan State, he put out spreads. And I think the Georgia line, he had 18.5. And the Bama line, he had 17.5. We have seen so many blowouts in these semifinals over the last 6 or 7 years. How do we play a dog in the semis at 17-18?
Team total unders.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's there's blowouts for a reason. I don't think that we're going to see Oklahoma end up in the playoff. Cincinnati, I am definitely not interested in them being in a playoff run. This isn't the same Cincinnati team that we had in 2020. Their defense is worse. Their offense is worse. So I hope that they don't make it in. Michigan State is pretty interesting. They still have a chance here for a couple of losses before the season closes. But I do fully agree that Georgia, Alabama, it's them too. And then the rest of the world. Ohio State could be interesting. That offense, we talked about it earlier, that offense is gelling. It's coming together. I would like to take Ohio State. If there was a futures to take right now, I'd be looking at Ohio State, and I would love to take them as an underdog in a playoff.
Yeah, they'll probably be like if Ohio State makes it in and they face, let's say it's Alabama.
I would take the over. You can look at totals instead of the spreads.
I already told you about middle finger mode. You know how I feel about the Ohio State overs.
Absolutely. Over.
Actually, I lied. I have one more question. Why should we take the points with Texas this week? You're a big Horns fan.
I actually wouldn't take the points with the Horns. Have you seen that video? There's a video circulating on the internet right now about the offensive coordinator whose girlfriend's monkey attacked a child during Halloween. True story. He left his wife for a stripper named Pole Assassin, has a monkey. They had a Halloween little gathering. Hey, kids, come get some candy. It attacked a child. How is this not distracting to the team somehow?
The name is Pole Assassin?
Pole Assassin is the name of this woman. This is her this is her stripper name. This is her Instagram handle. It's a real I thought it was fake, and it's a real thing. There is a monkey owned by a woman named Pole Assassin, who's married to the offensive coordinator for Texas, who attacked a child.
This might be lock of the year type stuff on Iowa State now.
Fade Texas this week. If there was ever a time.
Now I have to let you go because I need to go down the Pole Assassin rabbit hole. Please follow Pam on Twitter at PamelaM35. I say Pamela M because it sounds better, but Pamela M35. Yahoo Sportsbook, Yahoo Sports, host of the Stack of Stats pod. She's a hook 'em horn, but she doesn't like Texas this week. Run away, Pam. Hook'em run away.
Horns. Don't watch it. They can't hold on to leads anyway.
Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
That about does it for Chicken Dinner. Thanks to Pam Maldonado for hopping on. The record check here, 189, 184, and 7. We're up 8.3, and we've got a couple in the hopper, actually, more than a couple. Virginia plus 5.5, Virginia plus 190, the Panthers plus 10.5, Chiefs minus 2.5, and the Kansas Jayhawks to win the national championship 16-1. We will have a show tomorrow. Cash some tickets, make some money. We'll talk to you Friday right here on Chicken Dinner.
My brother told me so, you'd be the greatest man alive.